Deuteronomy chapter 5, and I know, Dan, this is kind of right in his wheelhouse, so I'm not going to deal with what Deuteronomy chapter 5 is probably most famous for, and that is the second listing of the Ten Commandments. Dan is about to take us through that in Exodus, and we're not going to cover that. But in preparation for where he's headed, and I hope, honestly, that when Dan or myself are sharing with you, and we recommend a side read, go ahead and read. You know, he told you about Galatians today, and he told you to take the whole chunk of Exodus chapter 19 through 24 and sit down and read it. I hope you take the opportunity, because honestly, God's Holy Spirit will be able to use his word more if you've spent some time in it, not just listening to myself or listening to Dan, because, you know, we're not the teacher, okay? That's right, God's Holy Spirit. We get to open the Bible and use our mouths to speak it, but God's Holy Spirit. So if you've spent some time in that verse beforehand, God's got a hold of you even more than just, you know, please take the opportunity. But in prep for this, there's a passage here that it's pretty amazing, and I didn't realize coming into chapter 19 that Dan dealt with this morning how closely this would tie to this. The Ten Commandments are given to Moses, and he comes down, and the people make a commitment to God, and basically said, God has spoken to you, and would you please speak to God, and he'll speak to you, and you'll speak to us, and give us what we learn. And so, just two verses here, and then I want to jump off of this. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 28. Actually, you can go back to 27. Go thou near, and hear all the Lord, all that the Lord our God shall say. And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee. And we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And God really spoke to me over the last few weeks about, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And that's what I wanted to look at. I've been doing a small side study myself about our heart. So this morning, with all the stuff that we can do, and Dan did a fantastic job this morning. Thank the Lord. I'm doing Bible study sort of sermon this morning. He preached it good this morning. So if you didn't get a chance to, go back on sermon audio, listen to it. Just amazing stuff to understand what the law is to us and what it means to us, and that so many people take the law as, if I do that, it gets me to a position with God where I'm right, or we understand that God brings us to redemption and then we're able to do the law. But all those things kind of fall short if we're not having the heart that we ought to have. Because if we're functioning out of just duty or out of responsibility or out of religious right or any sort of thing, and when it's not coming from here, we've got a problem. So I want to take the few moments this morning and talk about our whole heart. Okay, and the Bible says in quite a few places that I would do things with all my heart, with my whole heart. As a matter of fact, with a perfect heart. And again, meaning fully, completely. And in our world today, you wonder how many people do anything with their whole heart. You see people who are in a sports game or anything else, and you say, well, their heart just wasn't in it. Okay, and that's the excuse. You know, they probably didn't give a full effort because their heart just wasn't in it. Or you'll talk about somebody, you know, and they'll give you this, you know, the 1986 Celtics, and they'll call it the heart of a champion. You know, because people are 100% sold out with their whole heart to accomplish what they are set to do. Now, with that in mind, in this study I've been doing personally, there are 765 verses in the Bible that mention heart. In several of those verses, heart is mentioned multiple times. So it's probably close to 800 times God deals with our heart. Okay. Now, in the majority, 99% of those times, God is not dealing with the blood pumper. Okay. When he speaks of heart, it's talking about our innermost person. Okay. It's talking about our feelings, our will, our intellect. It is who makes us who we are. Okay, what's that?
Our soul.
Yeah, our soul, that's part of the understanding, but we will see several times in the scripture that God makes a differentiation between it. And we'll read a few verses in a few minutes that says, with all your heart and all of your soul. So if he's splitting those two up to say two different things, that it's probably not exactly the same. Okay, our heart is that part of us that is the sort of choice maker. Okay, it's the depth of who we are. All right, so I wanted to take a look, and just before we go to prayer, let me read a few things about what God says about our heart in the Bible. We're not going to cover all these verses today. We may pick it up at some other time, but just give you an idea. The Bible says you can have a broken heart, a contrite heart, a willing heart, a proud heart, a wicked heart, a trembling heart, a double heart, soft heart, a pure heart, an upright heart, a clean heart. You can have a froward heart, a wise heart, a merry heart, a haughty heart. You can have a heavy heart, a bitter heart, a new heart, a stony heart, a heart of flesh. You can have a troubled heart, a singled heart, one heart, an evil heart, hard heart, covetous heart. These are all things that God says we as human beings can have. So it lets you know we got a lot of choices in where our heart can go and what we do with our heart, right? Now, you know, Bible says things like, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And that we want to not have a hard heart or an evil heart. Okay, that we want to have a contrite heart. We want to have a pure heart. All those decisions, that lets us know that there's a lot of consideration that you and I need to do when it comes to our heart and where it is. Because the Word of God gives us quite a few verses, and then how many times have we talked about David, a man after God's own heart. And it's amazing how many commandments over those 765 verses where God gives, says, this is what I'd like to see in thine heart. And then David and Paul and others will respond that I need to do this with my heart. There's a lot of decisions and a lot of thinking. We're not covering all that today, please. People say, 765 verses, how long are we going to be here? No, listen, we're not going to be here that long. But so I wanted to just flip through the scriptures a little bit in kind of a little bit looser atmosphere and just look at what God says about a few things about our whole heart. And our commitment. So before we go there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and what it teaches us. And man, Father, just the things we just listed off about what you declare a man's heart can be. Lord, it can be proud and wicked and evil and deceitful. But Lord, it also can be pure and clean and sound. Father, I just pray that you would help us today. We want to make sure that our whole heart is yours, that we put whole heart into everything, that all of our efforts, all of our hearts, that we're doing this. And in the world today, and Lord, there's a lot of things leading up to this as we're studying in Revelation and we're moving this transition from the Philadelphia church age to the Laodicean church age where they're just lukewarm and not committed. And Father, just sort of skating through. The Father, we don't want to be those kind of Christians. Father, we want to serve you with all of our heart. Lord, we want to be totally committed. And so, Father, I just pray that just as a family here, not preaching a sermon, but Father, just taking your word and reminding us some of the areas that we need to commit with our whole heart, 100%. Lord, not half-hearted. Father, not having, well, I guess their heart's just not in it. Father, we don't want to be those kind of believers. We want to be in 100%. We want to be, Father, having a heart of God, being men and women after God's own heart. And Lord, I know we can keep quoting verses about that, but Father, it's just a reminder, your word is so packed full of us being able to make decisions and turn the direction of our own hearts, that will, that intellect. Lord, our feelings, our passion. And so, Father, give us some understanding from your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise is the first thing. Let's go to Psalm. The book of Psalm. We're just going to flip through. I want the word of God to give us some direction on a few things here. So first thing we're going to look up is the whole heart. What can you and I do with our whole heart? What should we do with our whole heart? Now, some of us are sports fans with our whole heart. Okay? You know, some of you don't care a bit. Others, diehard Red Sox fan, even when it was 86 years since they had won anything. Okay, you know, not fly-by-night fans, and then some are Cleveland Brown fans. Why, I don't know. They never win. But I'm just teasing. There are people who will stick it out no matter what, okay, because their heart is in it. And this is what we're kind of talking about. Yeah, we'll be there a little later on today, Bruce, so that's good. So I put some verses down on some papers that I'm going to be handing out in a little bit. That we should do everything we do to the glory of the Lord. Amen? It should be a commitment that our whole life should be geared for that. We're in Psalms, right? I've talked long enough for us to get there. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. The first thing the Lord God tells us in his word we ought to be doing with our whole heart is praising him. Now, I'm just talking, just having a chit-chat with us as a family here this morning. Do we praise him with our whole heart, or do we praise him on Sunday morning?
All the time.
All the time. And I'm not preaching, I'm just asking. Okay? I know, well, Pastor, you're the pastor of the church. I can evaluate my week and think that there are points when I'm probably not quite praising God like I ought to be. That's exactly right. We can forget. Charlie Perkins. Y'all remember Charlie. His son, Chuck Perkins. My wife bumped into him the other day. You know what's funny about Chuck Perkins? Just love Chuck. But every time I bump into Chuck, one of the first words that comes out of Chuck's mouth, do you see what happened with Notre Dame? He is a Notre Dame football guy. I am not kidding. I mean, literally, over the last 10 years, every time I see Chuck Perkins, he brings up Notre Dame football. So Kim says, she said, I saw Chuck Perkins. I said, did he talk about Notre Dame football? And she, you know, I just asked because it's been one of those things. Why? You can tell he has a passion about it. Now, here's the thing, and this is where I'm responding to what Joyce just said. I don't care if he was ringing the bell as a Salvation Army guy at Christmas time, whether he was just shopping in Walmart, whether he was out, you know, broken down on the side of the road with his car. I want you to listen to this. No matter what he was doing, he still had that in his mind as a passion that he had for football. It wasn't only when it was football season. It wasn't only when he was watching football. Every place, every time, and I am not kidding, as God is my witness, every single time, no matter what was going on. So here's the question, and what Joyce just said, we get around this world and get distracted by so many things going on. Isn't that part of what our issue might be? That if we're praising God with our whole heart, that no matter what we're involved in, that should be something that we're always passionate about. Okay, one of the phrases that's been going on in my life recently with several people, including my daughter, who has reminded me, I get to do that. Not I have to do that, but I get to. I got to go to work this morning. No, I get to go to work this morning. Okay? I got a flat tire. Well, no, you get a flat tire because you own a car. Okay, people who don't own cars don't get flat tires in their car. You know, it's kind of looking at things in a certain way. You know, you get a flat, well, praise God you had a car to get a flat in. Okay, I twisted my ankle in a Olympic. Well, thank the Lord you have an ankle. Because I know a couple of guys that I sing with in the Cheshireman who only have one leg and they wear a prosthetic. We ought to be praising God with our whole heart. Shouldn't be something that we're distracted off of. Now, I know exactly what Joyce is saying because I don't praise him with my whole heart. This is one of the reasons I'm doing this study personally. Because I want to be somebody who does things for my God with my whole heart. And no matter what comes across my path on a daily basis, it shouldn't distract me from some things that, how's Notre Dame doing? Every time you see me, we should be praising God with our whole heart. Amen? Amen. There you go. You know, there are some homeless people who would love to have a hot water heater. I'm going to praise him with my whole heart. Psalm 111, verse 1 says this. Well, all right, catch me after I read this, because it's right in the same point. Praise the Lord, I will praise him with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. So he says, I'm going to praise him for his might. I'm going to do it especially amongst God's people. Go ahead, Diane. You were going to say something? Amen. Amen. Speaking the truth in his heart. But here we go. We're praising God with all our heart. We're praising God especially in the congregation of God's people. Now, I've been there, done that, got the medal. When we come together for our Sunday morning worship, we come together in God's house, and Matt sang the first song, great song for this morning for this. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Now, not saying that we don't weep with one another, but you know, we got to be careful that we don't come to God's house pickle puss. You know what I'm talking about, right? Because life is tough. Life is always going to be tough. And you know what? The whole world knows that life is tough. And everybody on that planet, on this whole planet, has got stuff to complain about, right? You know what other people who are not believers don't have? They don't have the heart to praise God. You're not going to have somebody who is an unbeliever praising God. That's something special that you and I get to do. So be careful. Yes, we're going to have hardships. I get it. And I'm not saying never come to God's house and share tough times. Believe me, there's enough preaching out there right now that is prosperity gospel and everything ought to be marshmallows and roses. Heard a great quote today. Fantastic for us. Because we are a small church that's preaching the Word of God and haven't bought into a lot of this hoopla to get people to come through church doors. And it's going on quite a bit. And unfortunately, some of the people that we know have been involved with a church that's kind of started out that way and stumbling. And we've actually qualified it probably as a cult. Heard a great thing this morning on the radio. Not the first time I heard it. But he said, if your child needs medicine really, really bad. Okay, they have a sickness and there's a medication that they need really bad, very expensive medication. But it tastes absolutely hideous. So to get the child to take the medicine, they mix it with sweet, syrupy, cherry-flavored stuff. You know what I'm talking about. But that's the only way you could stomach it. Well, what happens if a mom would say, well, I can't afford the medicine, but just give the kid the syrup. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? But unfortunately, there's a lot of churches who are staying away from truth and just giving people the syrup. It's all about the sweet stuff, the good stuff, but the medicine that they really need, the truth of God's word that's really necessary, is not being given with it. Sometimes God's word's a little heavy. So what Diane read was pretty good, that we're going to speak the truth in love, right? Just beware. Okay, so I'm going to praise him with my whole heart because of his mighty acts. I'm going to praise him in the congregation. Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. There it is again. Before the gods I will sing praise unto thee. And again, after knowing I was using this verse this morning, I couldn't help but smirk this morning when Dan was peaching. Because Dan said, you know what? All these silly demigods, the god of the trees and the god of the river and the god of the sun and the god of the moon and god of, you know, death and the god of thunder and the god of lightning and the god of, you know what? There's enough gods in this world to keep people busy. All, you know what? We have to make sure that we're praising God above all other gods. Okay? And it doesn't mean before them, meaning like I'm in front of other gods praising God. It means he's the one. There is another. He is above all. He is before any other. He is the God of gods. He owns everything. Go back and listen to Sunday school. Okay? But did you notice? With my whole heart. How many things do we get involved in with our whole heart? Well, first thing we need to be doing with our whole heart is praising him. So let that be an encouragement to you, to me. I'll tell you one thing. Sometimes I get going on things I got to do. I got a checklist. I've got a new list on my phone that I got to look at to make sure I get all these things done today. And I can get so distracted by what I got to do that I might be giving up the opportunities to praise him like I ought to be with my whole heart. And you know what's funny is Christians are good at not doing religious things for the Lord out of just repetition. But you know what? We'll start doing things for our regular life out of repetition and not be doing the things we ought to be doing with our whole heart. Next one, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 2. Lord, help me praise you with my whole heart. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his commandments and that seek him with the whole heart. So not only ought we be praising God with our whole heart, but we ought to be keeping his word and seeking after him with our whole heart. Now again, this is tough from this side of the pulpit, saying it. Because when we say things like, you ought to be reading your Bible every day, that can be a duty, can't it? Right? Especially when it's said from this side of the pulpit. You ought to be, oh, pastor expects me to read my Bible every day. I better check it off on my list. I've got, you know, I got online my daily Bible reading chart. I got to keep up with it. I'm in Zechariah 12 and Luke 10 today. And if I don't get those chapters under my belt, you know, I'm going to mess up my whole Bible reading thing for the whole year. It ought not to be a duty. It ought to be something we want to be in his presence. We ought to be seeking him with our whole heart. You ever been in love? Those who are married better say, I still am in love. Okay, that's right. Still am in love. But you know how it works, right? You're first in love. And you got off early from work, and you know your sweetie gets off in a half hour, so you become a stalker. Sit outside their work just waiting for them to come out so that you can... I did that the other day. I'll confess. My wife gets off at 11 o'clock, so I went down in there and sat in the parking lot. You guys know, they come to Wednesday night Bible study, that parking lot. And I'm sitting there, and it's 11:10, and it's 11:15, and it's 11:30, and this wonderful smiling face I was going to say to my wife, hi dear, became, what's taking her so long? Okay, you want to do something special for the one you love. You know, I just happened to be driving by. I knew you got off a half hour ago, and you haven't come out yet, but you do little cute things. Why? Because when you love somebody, you're seeking after them. You couldn't wait to pick up the phone. Nowadays, I didn't have this smart, stupid phone when I was dating. You know, nowadays they text back every 3 seconds, you know, I love you, and you have to text back within 15 seconds and the person gets upset. I love you too, you know, the communication, because you just can't wait to hear from that person. You just can't wait to communicate with them. And by golly, you can't wait to spend some time with them, can you? That's seeking somebody with your whole heart. Do we seek our God like that with our whole heart? Or do we have to schedule a time that I must open my Bible and force myself to do it? How about prayer? We talked last week a little bit about fasting and setting special time away just dedicated to one person, our God. Are you seeking Him with your whole heart? Same chapter. Guys, so we had verse 2, right? Seek Him with the whole heart. Verse 10 says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 34 says, give me understanding that I may keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. All right, Pastor, now you're talking at about a different level here. Praising God with our whole heart, that's one thing. You know, we can go out and say how good God is. You know, that doesn't take a whole lot of effort. If I'm going to be seeking after, chasing my God with my whole heart, that's a little different. I'm just talking. I'm trying not to preach. I'm talking about me, Craig, too. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things during a day that I could seek after, right? Yep, pure in heart. This is one of those things we were talking about, our hearts. But I'll tell you what, there's some things during the day that I'll seek after with my whole heart. There it is. Thank you, Matt. I knew somebody was going to get there. And I couldn't help it because we just talked about fasting, and Peggy asked a question on Wednesday night about fasting. That's one of the reasons why God uses food to remind us about what it is to seek something with passion. When you are hungry, okay, and in our family we use the phrase hangry after a while, which means you're getting grumpy because you're hungry. You're hungry, angry, you're hangry. Because you're passionate. It's something, man, don't talk to me until I get something to eat. Okay, some of you are like that with coffee. Careful now. We need to be ready to seek after our God with our whole heart. Just like you'd drive by McDonald's and some of you just can't. Listen, and I know it's not the best food, but the other day I pulled in there, I was going through around just about 8 o'clock. I couldn't believe all the older folks that were going in there as couples, cute little couples, just walking in there with their little dressed up all nice to go into McDonald's to eat breakfast. I said, there's health food for you. But, you know, some people just love to go. I know you get a senior discount and they get coffee real cheap or something like that in there. I'm not quite that old yet. Either that or they're using it to pre-embalm themselves at McDonald's. I don't know what it is. All right. Notice it also, Psalm 119, verse 58. Psalm 119, right where we are, verse 58. I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful according to thy word. I think this one we can understand a little bit better. This word entreat kind of means to beg. I'm begging your favor, but you know what also this word entreat, if you look it up, the same word is often used in the scripture as sick. Meaning, I'm a mess. I'm sick. I need help. Okay? You're running that 104 fever. You stayed home from school. You're cuddled up on the couch. And you let out that moan. Mom! You know what I'm talking about, right? Everybody's been there. because you can't barely get up. You can't. Nothing you can do is making you feel better. You desperately need help. You want mom just to sit on the couch so you can put her head on her lap, so she can run her fingers through your hair and put that wet washcloth on your forehead. I think that one we can understand, can't we? That our lives are such a mess that we're begging for God's help. I'm going to entreat thee with thy whole heart. Lord, have mercy on me. I can't tell you how many days in my life I've laid in bed at night and thought that same thought. Because, you know, there's days we don't cut it the way we should. And the Bible talks about a sin that does so easily beset us. And we know we blew it again. And we lay in bed and go, Father, I know it can be a better day tomorrow. But what a mess today was. And we say, Father, with my whole heart, I'm asking you, thank you so much for your mercy. Could you help me out in this area? Because I'm sick. I need your help. So we praise him with our whole heart. We keep his word with our whole heart. We entreat his favor with our whole heart. This is a little different, this one. Jeremiah chapter 24. This is kind of a promise for the future, but a little bit for today. That if we would do stuff with our whole heart, God will do something for us. And I love that, the fact that, again, if you didn't hear Sunday school this morning, go back and read Exodus 19, the first little bit, where it talks about if we would do what God is asking us to do, the amazing things that God will do. God is just like that. He rewards men when we do what's right. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7 says this. This is God speaking. I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. You see the kind of relationship God wants to have with you and I if we would turn to him with our whole heart? Now, some of you might be able to understand this a little bit. The phrase, the honeymoon's over. You know that phrase, don't you? We were just talking about what it is to be so passionately in love with each other that anything and everything is so focused wholeheartedly around that other person that you think of them 24/7, that you want to talk to them 24/7, that you'll kill yourself. I remember when I was first dating in high school, I didn't have a driver's license. I would ride my bike 45 minutes on the interstate, which, by the way, is illegal, to get to see somebody. Okay, your legs are burning, but you're in love. But then something happens. And all of a sudden, that closeness isn't there anymore. And you're not seeking after each other with your own whole heart. And before you know it, things have gotten really stale. And then you'll be sitting in the counselor's office across the table from somebody wondering why we're even together. Because you've lost that passion, that love, that wholeheartedness with each other. You see what God says here? With that thought in mind, let's read it again. And I will give unto them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. If we would return to having a whole heart, you can relight that flame of passion. Don't be stale. Don't be, let's start the honeymoon again, right? We say the honeymoon's over. Let's kick it back in gear. Now, are we talking about that in a personal relationship with our spouse? But you see what God's saying here? If they would return with their whole heart, I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Go back to Exodus chapter 19 and read it. We get to have an amazing relationship with the God of this universe if we would go after him with our whole heart. That's why he gave us his word, so we would understand what he wants from us, so that we can passionately seek him through it. Right. So go to Deuteronomy for a minute. We got a couple more I just want to look at, then we'll be done. Those are the verses that the Bible talks about your whole heart. But along with it, I added a very similar phrase that God talks about, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And especially what we were just saying about our spouse, that one we've committed our life to forever. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Matter of fact, go back to verse 4. I think you'll recognize the passage as soon as we begin to read it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk about them when thou sittest down in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You'll bind them. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart. Do you? Now again, careful. Don't give me the Christian answer. Because you know what just about happened. I said that and people were about to do it. Yes, I love the Lord with all my heart. That's easy to say. But is that what your life shows? Do you seek him with your whole heart? Do you praise him with your whole heart? Are you diligently, you know, you keep his commandments with your whole heart? Because remember, we read that in Psalm 180. He said, I will keep my commandments and seek after thee with your whole heart. I tell you what. A lot of folks say they love the Lord, but I think it's more like this. I appreciate that he saved me. I'm thankful that he's forgiven me. But that's different than loving him with all your heart, isn't it? When you love something with all your heart, that's where your whole commitment is, right? God says where your heart is, there your treasure is also. That what you value most is what you love with your whole heart. Chapter 11, right here in Deuteronomy. Chapter 11, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I commanded you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Now we've taken it to the level. You know you love something when you are serving that something. Okay, how do we show? Now, there are different ways. I know love languages are out there from Chapman and stuff, and that there are different ways that we show love. But, you know, you show love a lot of times by doing things for people because you want to serve them, because you love them. Okay, I go home and I cook meals for my family. One, because I love to cook, but two, I enjoy it. You can ask my wife. Sometimes she gets irritated with me, I'm sure. She doesn't say it because she's wonderful. But I'll look at her and I'll say, so how'd you like supper? And she said, well, it was good. What do you mean good? Was it too salty? Was it this? Was it that? Was it, you know, why? And it's not that I'm being, you know, I'm being a pain or I'm trying to get, why, yes, Mr. Craig Cordon Bleu, you did a great job today. No, I want to know that the effort that I made to make something for my family is something that they loved. I'm serving them. I'm doing something because I want to offer it to them as an offering of love. Okay, guys, I'll tell you one thing, and I get frustrated, believe me, you can ask my wife. She'll fill you in. Okay? We have four people in this house right now. We've had five. Why is it that it seems like I'm doing most of the things that need to get done around here? Now again, you know what it is? There's different things. My wife does, you know, the laundry. I don't do laundry. I'm good at putting stuff in the washing machine and pulling a knob. After that, okay. But when it comes to like sweeping the floors and you know, especially none of my people in my house like to take the little scrub brush to that little porcelain thing that goes round and round and the water goes down. Okay, that's a job for Dad. Okay, another one that gets me, and again, I'm just talking honestly, guys. Another one is garbage from inside the house to outside the house. That's Papa's job, okay? It could be piling out into the dining room. My children could be stepping over the garbage, and they don't take it out. So what that makes you do is go, am I the only one who sees the garbage here? Is there anybody else who could pick up a bag and put these things out and take it outside? You know what I'm saying. I'm being honest. But you know what? That's most of the time, it's because I'm in the flesh and I got a bad mood. You know what most of the time we do? We bag up the garbage and take it out because as a family, that's a way we can serve one another. Because the things we do for one another, if they become a duty, then we're in trouble. Then we need to do something else. Well, let me ask you where you are with God. Are you serving Him with your whole heart because you have to? And in your mind, getting bitter or talking back? Why am I having to be the only one who cleans up this garbage? Or, you know, does anybody else know how to pick up a toilet bowl brush? Because we can't we? Because we're human. Well, my Bible says I ought to be able to serve my God with all my heart. That it should be something I'm passionate about because I love Him, I seek Him, I praise Him. He's all to me, so I'm going to do whatever I can to serve Him. Chapter 30. While we're right here. Chapter 30. Verses 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God has driven thee. And thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that he has commanded thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So not only do we have to be careful that we're serving, that we're obedient with all our heart. Oh, shut up. Come on. How many times have we talked? If I did ask one of my children to take out the garbage, and you know what happens sometimes when children are asked to take out the garbage. It's not just my kids. I can see smiles on the faces. Ask them to do anything that they're not necessarily excited to do. And they will obey, but you know the kind of obedience they give you, right? Well, I'm going to have to do this. Right, Trevor? Trevor's one kid who... See, now... When you mom tells you go downstairs to Olympians, you'll go. Because pastor won't embarrass you in front of everybody. Well, how many of us maybe obey God kicking and screaming? No, I'm just saying. I'm talking out loud. There are times, believe it or not, that this person sitting up here who is supposed to be like, oh, the pastor and everything, doesn't want to come here on Sunday morning. Exactly. And I know you guys do too. There are times that I get up and this body does not want to be awake. It wants to be in bed. Or this brain doesn't want to think about the things that I know I need to think about. But you know what? If we're doing it right, we're going to obey God with all our heart. Not, I can't believe we're going to do this. Ask them to do it. Why do I have to do it? Isn't God awesome the way He picks things up that just is regular in our lives? But if we would remember what He asks from us, And then something else, just to throw this at you, even with all with the all your heart idea, Psalm 86, you don't have to turn there, but we'll back to the whole heart thought. We read a couple things. In Psalm 86, verse 12, he says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thee forevermore. Again, he's reminding us, all our heart, with our whole heart, we ought to be praising him. A couple others and we'll be done. Bible says we need to do things with a perfect heart. Now don't be afraid. Again, this word doesn't mean sinless, without blemish, without issue. God would be a liar if he said that, because none of us can achieve perfectness. The word here is complete. It means whole. It means full in truth. Meaning, okay, the other words in the New Testament, when you translate that word perfect, it gives that idea of maturity. Okay, just complete. When the Bible talks about throughly furnished, meaning completely from one side to the other. Okay, so we're talking about our whole heart, all our heart, or with a complete full heart, we're doing these things that we know that we're making this effort with a heart that's right with God. Does that make sense to you? Okay, Psalm 101, a couple of things real quick. Go ahead, Bruce, while we're turning there. Yeah, would mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah.
So, it must be something there.
Well, and this kind of ties back into what Joyce was saying in Sunday school about him receiving us.
Yeah.
Because when God looks at us now and he sees us as perfect, it's not because we're perfect, it's because we're made perfect in Christ. That, remember on Wednesday night we were talking about being careful that you don't look at God's word through a filter. That you're thinking a certain thing, so everything you're not letting God's word, like it says, openly shine at you. That you think, oh, this is what I believe, and you force your thoughts into the Bible. Well, isn't it great to know that God looks at us through a filter, and that filter is Christ? That when he looks at my life, and I screwed up yesterday, and I screwed up the day before, and I'll screw up tomorrow, and probably today, that God looks at us as perfect because he sees us through the filter of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you pour all that sin that we committed yesterday, today, tomorrow, pour it through blood, when it comes out as pure as white as snow on the other side. That's the awesome part. So, yes, God sees us as perfect, but that doesn't mean we act perfect every day, right? So this idea means I have a heart that is wholly dedicated to God, completely, fully. Psalm 101, verse 2 says this, and I love this verse. Psalm 101, verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When wilt thou come to me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Whew. I've blown that one. Because I'll tell you, Drew, I've never been a perfect dad. I walk within my house with a perfect heart. But the idea is I want to be having my heart as dedicated, wholly, all of my heart to God, especially in my own house. I've had to tell my children many times, I'm sorry. Okay? I've looked at my kids and said, I've never, been a dad of teenagers before, or been a dad of a teenage daughter before. It worked with poor Micah. I would say, because he's our second son. I would say to Gideon, I've never, been a father to a 14-year-old before, 14-year-old boy before. And Micah comes along, I couldn't use that line anymore. Okay? But then I could say, I've never been a father to a 14-year-old girl before. That worked with Lydia. So it was, 'cause we make mistakes. But you know what? We want to walk before God with perfect ways and a perfect heart. Again, not sinless, but that our heart is dedicated completely to doing what he'd have us to do. 1 Chronicles. Just two more and we're done. 1 Chronicles. Now I know you're going, Chronicles? Some of you forgot even Chronicles was in the Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Actually, these verses are so close. I'm going to read chapter 28 real quick while we're on our way there. Chapter 28, verse 9 says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understands all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, and will be found of thee, but if thou wilt forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Says Solomon, a perfect heart, because God tries our thoughts. He knows everything that's going on. Remember, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Okay, so I said 29, same thing, verse 9. "Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king rejoiced with great joy." With a perfect heart. What are we offering the Lord today? What are we offering the Lord every day? And I'm not just talking about what's in the metal plates behind me. Remember we talked about what it said about Paul and Barnabas when God sent them out? It said when they had ministered unto the Lord. You doing it with a perfect heart? Complete, full, whole heart? Jim, you going to say something? Verse 19, same chapter. "And give unto Solomon thy son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments and thy testimonies and thy statutes, and do all these things, and to build a palace for the which I have made provision," to keep his commandments with a perfect heart. And then last one, and this is one of the things where I threw this in here for me, but I think it's worth looking at, especially in this world that we're in today, because there's a lot of things out there that can get under our skin. You see memes out there of political figures and things like that, and you have Alexandria occasionally coherent, and just different things going on in this world just drive you nuts. And there's a lot of things that you and I can jump on and cast judgment. And we got to be very careful. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 9 says this, "And he charged them, saying, Thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart." If you look at the context, verse 8, he chose judges to pass judgment with a perfect heart. Because I know when we get along amongst God's people, we can do that, can't we? Well, I'll tell you one thing, I wouldn't have worn that to church if I was me. Yeah, you ain't me. Okay? Or you know what? Whew, too much cologne on him today. Or boy, he needs a haircut. Or wow, I wouldn't have told that story. Listen, be careful on how you judge, that you do it with a perfect heart before God. But not so only within God's house. You know what the important judgment you and I need to remember always? When we see somebody doing something that we don't appreciate, which happens more often than I like to think, Here's a question to ask yourself. Do they know Jesus Christ as Savior? Answer that question first, and then worry about the other ones. And I have trouble with that, guys, because I'll see things on the news, or I'll see some clown doing something, and I want to just, because they're just not common sense, or they're off the reservation somewhere, you know, a couple of fries short of a Happy Meal. But you know, the first thing we need to be worried about is, do they know God as Savior? Because of course they're going to act that way they're acting if they don't know Jesus. For the first time ever, rewind to Sunday school. You and I, if we've been received by the Lord Jesus Christ, we become a part of His family, He's redeemed us from our sin, and now He's our Lord and Savior. For the first time ever, we are actually able to keep the law. Because before that, we couldn't. So why would we expect somebody that doesn't know God to be able to live like a believer, like a Christian? The first question we need to ask, and if we're going to judge people with a perfect heart by God's word, is, do they know Jesus as Savior? Get that thing taken care of, then we can deal with other issues. Of course, people are going to act sinful. We do as well. But if they have no Savior and no Holy Spirit to convict their heart to do what's right, of course that's the way they're going to act. So back to my thought. And I want to close with the verse we opened with. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Is there an area in your life that you're not seeking God with your whole heart? Are you praising Him with your whole heart? Are you keeping His word with your whole heart? Are you loving Him with all your heart? Serving Him with all your heart? Is there some area that can be better? Now, I know the answer. The answer is yes. I just don't know what your answer is. Maybe it's getting out there and praising God a little bit more. Maybe we're good at it on Sunday morning when we get together with God's people, but during the week, it kind of slips away. Maybe it's serving Him. That there's things we know that He wants us to do, but we're not doing it from here with all our heart. It's a duty, but it's something we're not so pleased about doing. Guys, pray for me as I pray for you. This isn't necessarily something where I'm trying to get people to come to the altar or anything like that. I just wanted to sit down as a family and say, if we're going to be a Philadelphian church and a Laodicean church age, we got to be doing it with our whole heart. Because the Bible says, you know, you're not hot, you're not cold. I want to just throw you up because you make me sick. Because people aren't passionate about the Lord. And again, I'm not talking about some of the passionate things that people say now that, you know, we have to overly... Don't be something you're not. Don't be fake. But just do it with your whole heart. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank You for Your word. And Lord, this is my church family here with me. Lord, honestly, this is an individual choice. They can't help me do something with my whole heart. I can't help them do something with their whole heart. We all have to make that decision to do it 100% ourselves. And so, Father, we've gotten this Western kind of culture, which sometimes, Lord, can be comfortable. And, Lord, everything is instant. We can get things in a microwave or pull up to a drive-thru window or, Father, order it online and it's right there. Just everything comes easy. And oftentimes not a lot of effort needs to get put into things. Father, we don't want to be that kind of person when it comes to our personal walk with You. So Father, I just pray every one of us would make a commitment to have our hearts sold out for You. And Father, whether it's praising You out in the world or in God's congregation, or Father, whether it's serving You with a heart of love, Father, whether it's understanding that We get to seek you every single day with a passion. Father, we've said it many times, and we'll look at it again, the idea of there's a difference between knowing the Word of God and knowing the God of the Word. Lord, it's great to have intellectual understanding of what your book says, but if we're not in touch with who you are and in love with you, Father. So, Lord, just help us, each and every one of us. Lord, I think if we would be a little bit more passionate about what we do for you, Lord, we would see great things. And so, Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, bless us now as we share a hymn together and then go to our business meeting. But, Father, just before that, I'm going to hand something out real quick. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.